Today I want to talk to you about expectation for breakthrough. Now that word breakthrough is a word that we hear thrown around a lot in church circles. We hear it, if you watch any Christian television, you'll probably hear that word thrown around by television evangelists a lot, that word breakthrough. We hear it in church circles, the word breakthrough. But do we really understand what it means? Today I want to take a little time, a few moments, to just kind of expound and define what spiritual breakthrough really is. And I want to give you this verse. Man, I cannot tell you how many times I have quoted this verse in my life, held to the promise of this verse throughout my Christian walk. And it's Galatians 6:9. And it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." The original King James Bible says, "if we faint not." So let us not grow weary in doing good. See, this is a verse of perseverance. This is a verse that deals with believing God for breakthrough. Because you have to keep on keeping on, even when it may be very hard and difficult to keep on. And the Word of God says, let us not be weary. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, in God's timing, we will reap the victories. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank God that we will. All right, so keep that verse in your spirit. It's a very important verse. So let's answer the question, what is a spiritual breakthrough? I want to give you four things to consider of what a spiritual breakthrough is all about. Four things to consider. First of all, in answering the question, what is a spiritual breakthrough? It is a place of spiritual renewal and new beginnings. All of us reach times in our lives where we need a new beginning. Isn't it awesome that we can start over? Isn't it awesome that you can fail, you can falter, and you can get back up, and God forgives you? See, that's the power of grace. That's why the Word of God says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we can mess up, we can fail, and we can get up and we can start over. And God forgives us and restores us and He renews us. See, it's a place, spiritual breakthrough. It is a place of spiritual renewal. All of us go through sluggish spiritual times. I think all of us. We don't always live on the mountaintop. Everything's not always hunky-dory. Y'all know what that means? I don't. But it's not always hunky-dory, whatever that means. I think I know what it means. I have an idea. But we all go through challenging times. We all go through times where life just seems kind of boring and kind of mundane. You know, it's kind of what we refer to as routines. Routines can be boring. Amen? Routines. You know, sometimes there's no excitement in routines, and we get tired of the routine. You know, we may even feel discouraged. We may even feel depressed. It's in those times, my friends, when breakthrough, we are ripe candidates for spiritual breakthrough. Because spiritual breakthrough doesn't come when everything's just going merrily along. It comes through challenging times because it's a place where God renews our strength. You know, it's like the prophet Isaiah said. He said, even young men will faint and grow weary. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. He said, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Amen. It's about renewal. Spiritual breakthrough is all about renewal, a fresh encounter with God. And when you have a fresh encounter with God, it is going to propel you forward. You will advance in a spiritual sense, and the miracles will just run you down and chase you down and run you over. Hallelujah. I say, yay, Lord, give us breakthrough. All right, here's the second thing to consider. What is a spiritual breakthrough? It is a breaking forth with force, advancing into a new season of life. I love this verse in Isaiah 66, 8. This is in reference to God's people, and it makes a reference to Zion, and it's about birthing things. And this is what it says in Isaiah 66, 8. It says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Now, what is the answer to that? Can the earth give birth in one day? The answer to that is, I don't know. I would say the answer, no. The answer, yes. Because it can happen suddenly. You know, so I understand what the prophet of God is saying. In the natural, I think we would answer, can the earth give birth in one day? No, because there's a season of travail. There's a season of waiting. There's a season of expectation. But then on the other hand, God moves suddenly. And things can happen quickly. Because when God shows up, come on somebody, things happen. Hallelujah. When he shows up, things are going to change. So can a nation be born, or can the earth give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Now, Zion is a reference to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Zion in the Old Testament referred to God's people. In the New Testament, Zion refers to God's spiritual kingdom. All right, now consider this. In the book of Hebrews, it says that we as believers, having received a kingdom, let us serve God with reverence and godly fear. Because we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. All right, so it's why? Because it is a spiritual kingdom. All right, so a spiritual breakthrough is a breaking forth with force. It's just like giving birth. I saw all of my three kids born into the world, and I didn't faint. I think I almost fainted for Stephanie. Because we were young and didn't know anything. Becky's got one of our family photo albums. She's got a picture of me in a blue house coat. I don't know if it came from Kmart. I think it was Kmart. And my hair was all matted, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to feed Stephanie. She was newborn. With a bottle, and that really reveals the reality of when children are born, those first several weeks are hell. Can I get an amen? It gets better, right? But every time I see that picture, I'm like, oh, that picture is horrible. Horrible. And we always look at it and chuckle just because, you know, it's one of those, you've been up all night, baby wouldn't sleep. How many of y'all know babies don't sleep when they should? I remember saying, man, as Becky's mother used to tell us, you know, back in her day, said they used to give the babies Paragoric. I said, where can I get some of that? They give them Paragoric and boom, they're out like a light. I said, well, why did they take that off the market? Right? But birthing process, man, it's why I'm glad I'm a man. Hallelujah. But it's tough stuff. It's hard. You know, it's a breaking forth with force, advancing into a new season of life. It's birthing things. That's what spiritual breakthrough is. New season of life. God wants to bring us into new seasons. He wants to birth things in us. All right, here's the third thing. What is a spiritual breakthrough? A spiritual breakthrough will take your life. It means going to a new level, a higher dimension spiritually. Thank God that we can go to higher dimensions in the spirit realm. A breakthrough takes your life to a new level. My friends, we should always believe God to go to a greater level, a higher level. I want to go deeper in Christ. I want a greater foundation. I want more strength. I want more anointing. I want more power. You know, it's a cliche that we throw around. New level, new devil, new height, new fight. Because it always is. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's very true. When you begin to grow in God, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be demon entities that want to stop your development, that want to stop your growth. So, you know, but God brings us through victories all the way through. That's what breakthrough does. See, it goes to a new level in God. You step it up a notch. You become closer to the Lord. You have a greater understanding of who God is, a greater revelation of the very person, character, and nature of who God is. See, that's a new level. Breakthrough takes your life to a new level. I love what David said in Psalms 40. I love the book of Psalms because Psalms expresses everything that we all go through. You know, because we all go through the highs and the lows. You know, we all go through times where we are disappointed. Has anybody ever been disappointed? Boy, the rest of y'all never been disappointed? Man, I need to talk to you. Y'all might have more insight than Dr. Phil. But everybody has been disappointed. People disappoint us. Right? Things happen in life that disappoint us. You know, so we all go through disappointment. You know, so we go to the Psalms and we read these stories and these expressions, you know, of characters, you know, men in the Bible who went through the same things. They dealt with disappointment, discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? Third week of January, 2019, there was a shadow of not discouragement, oppression that was over the city. Right? Because those that aren't football fans are like, I don't care about any of that. But we understand. You know, life is, things happen, right? Things happen that will discourage you, disappoint you, depress you. All right, so David went through all of those things. And I love what he says in Psalms 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. What did Galatians 6:9 say? Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. I love verse 2. He brought me up out of. If you got your Bible with you, and I know we get away from bringing our Bibles to church anymore because we, you know, it's self-serve scripture. You know, we put it on the screens and we got it on our phones if you got your Bible or when you go home, get your Bible. If you don't have one, I probably got about 65 of them in my library. I'll give you one. And Circle that phrase, because that is a powerful, powerful phrase. He brought me up out of. Get that in your spirit, my friend. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. This is a breakthrough moment. See, he's talking about a new level when he says, he brought me up out of. That is level. He brought me to a place, a position. Isn't it awesome that the Bible says that when someone becomes a born-again child of God, that all of a sudden they step into a spiritual position? I love the story of the demon-possessed man. The Bible says that he hung out in the cemetery, and nobody would pass in front of the cemetery because of the demon-possessed man. And the Bible says that he was always there. That's where he lived. And he was cutting himself with stones. He was mutilating his body. He was crying out all the time. I mean, this man was a mess. He was demon-possessed. And the Bible says no one could help him. No one could tame him, the King James Bible says. It literally means no one could heal him or restore him. Now that's a predicament. Until Jesus shows up. Come on, somebody. When Jesus shows up, then all of a sudden, breakthrough happens. So Jesus delivered him. He cast the demons out of him. And I love what the scripture says, that after that, he was seated, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Because he wouldn't wear any clothes either. He was always in his birthday suit. You know, I guess they could have sold tickets for that. I don't know, but they sell tickets in New Orleans for that kind of thing. But I love what the word says. Seated, clothed, and in his right mind. That's what happens, my friends, when spiritual breakthrough takes place. Position. See, because when it says seated, that reminds me of what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. He says, we are crucified with Christ. We are buried with Christ. You know, he's talking in a spiritual sense, of course. And he says, and he has raised us up and seated us together with him in heavenly places. Position. That's a position. See, when you step into breakthrough, your position becomes elevated. And there's a new level of power and a new level of authority. Because breakthrough takes you to a higher spiritual dimension. That's why I love this verse. He brought me up out of. Thank God that he did. Let me give you the fourth thing. Here's the fourth definition. What is a spiritual breakthrough? See, breakthrough is not just what God does for us. It is what God does in us. He doesn't just want to do something for us. He wants to do something in us. And when he's doing something in us, man, that's how breakthrough lives. That's how breakthrough operates. Check this verse out in Philippians 2:13. Paul said it this way. He says, for it is not your strength, but it is God. Thank God that I don't have to worry about doing it in my own power. Because you know what? The truth is, my friends, we can't. The truth is, you can't live successfully. The truth is, you can't live effectively. The truth is, you can't live this Christian walk for 1 minute of a 24-hour day. That's the truth of it. See, the truth is that it's only through his working that enables us to walk it out. That's why Paul said it is Christ in you who is the hope of glory. Amen. It's not of ourselves. It's all of what God does. So I love this statement in Philippians 2:13. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you. When he's working, my life takes on effectiveness. My life takes on a certain level of success. And it's a growth process. It's a development process. He goes on and he says, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Do you realize, my friends, that the Bible teaches us that we were not created just to go through life, earn a living. You know, we get up, go to work, come home, have dinner, lay on the sofa. Don't persecute me, Becky. I reject persecution. We go to bed, we get up, we do it over again, and then we get up the next, and it's a cycle, right? It's a cycle. And, you know, we think that we're accomplishing something, and we are, because if we don't work, we don't eat, and if we don't work and pay Entergy, they'll turn the lights off. I'm not going to talk about my scripture card today that I send Entergy. I'm not going to talk about it. But I do know, even if I don't send that scripture card, if they don't get paid, they will cut these lights off. The nerve of some people. Right? If you buy a vehicle, after over 11 years, I finally jumped into another new truck, and I'm still grieving over my old truck. But these new trucks are nice. But I understand that if Toyota don't get paid, they're gonna come get it. So you got to work. You have to earn income, right, to be able to live. But what I want you to understand today, my friends, is that the life that God has for us is a life of purpose. And we are created for his pleasure. We are not just created to get up in the morning, go earn money, pay the bills. We're not just created. I mean, we have to do those things to live in the economy of this world. We understand that, but we must never lose sight that we were created for his pleasure. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 4, it says that all things were created for his pleasure. Paul understood it when he preached in the book of Acts, and he said, for it is in him, meaning in Christ, that we live and move and have our existence. What if I could bring an eternal purpose into my career? Bring an eternal purpose into my employment? Bring an eternal purpose into the daily routine of my life and believe that God has something higher than I can't even see or may not even be able to figure out or define it completely? Because he's working, and he's always working. And that's what breakthrough is. It's not just what he does for us. It's what he's doing in us. So, my friend, what is he doing in you today? What is he doing in you? Maybe you need a new season, a new moment. Let me go to the next part, part two of this sermon outline here today. Because I want to answer this question. How do we have expectancy for breakthrough? How do we have it? How do we nurture a spirit of expectancy? Because those, and get this in your spirit, this is in the Bible. It says, those who believe are the ones who receive. I told the 9 o'clock service this morning, God responds more to faith than he does to need. Even Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back, shall he find faith on the earth? And, you know, high-profile Christian leaders who have thrown in the towel was in the news this week. And it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, we were just preaching about the last days sermon series. And we were looking at that verse, you know, that Paul wrote to Timothy. In the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. My friends, it doesn't matter how high a profile a Christian leader may be. If you see someone and they deny the Lord and they may have been on fire for God for decades, you keep going for Jesus. You don't let that rock your world. You keep going for Jesus. Amen. Because that's on them. And they're the ones that have been seduced. And it doesn't change anything. The word is still the word. The gospel is still true. Jesus is still king. And praise God, he's coming back. And when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? But many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. I hope they come back to the Lord. But I have to seriously, seriously question the validity of their conversion experience. I have to seriously question their level of relationship with the Lord. Even Jesus gave us what is called the parable of the sower. And he said that there would be these different groups. He said some that would receive the word gladly and they would endure for a little while. But then they began to get persecuted and ridiculed. And he said then they give up, you know. Because he talked about those that fall among the thorns and those who fall among the stony places and those who fall in these different areas, you know, and these things hinder them and destroys their faith and they throw in the towel. Listen, it's going to happen. Don't let it surprise you. Don't let it surprise you, my friend. Keep going for Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Keep having your expectancy for breakthrough in Jesus. Because Jesus, and the Bible says, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So all of these people in the world, they will let us down and disappoint us. But Jesus is the champion. He continues to be the champion. And it is in Christ alone. And I must deepen myself in Jesus. So how do I nurture expectancy? How do I have expectancy for a breakthrough? That's where it begins. It begins with my relationship with the breaker himself. That's why I got to keep my walk with the Lord where it needs to be. I got to keep it up to date. That's why I like bunny bread anointing. Hallelujah. That bunny bread, man, that stuff is soft. I went to Walmart, bought it said French bread, and I got that stuff home one day, and I said, now who ever heard of French bread that's not crusty? Right? French bread, I mean, how could you make a po' boy out of soft bread? There's a lot of fake stuff in this world, my friends. Don't ever lose sight of that. Amen. There's a lot of fake stuff going out. I don't ever want my life to be fake. Amen. I want to stay connected to the break. I want to keep my relationship with the Lord up to date. That's why I'm not going in the donut store. I know they were voted number one donuts right down here on the corner. Number one donut in the city of New Orleans. I'm not going down there and ask them, can you give me yesterday's donuts? I preached a message about that years ago. No, when I used to go in there and get donuts on Sunday mornings for the worship team, and they would always ask me that question, do you want them hot? No. Just give them to me as cold as you can find them. You know, that's the ones that I want. I mean, what kind of stupid question is that? Of course I want them hot. Of course I want them fresh. See, our relationship with the Lord must be just like that. So to have expectancy, it begins with the breaker himself. I got to stay connected to the fire of God. Hallelujah. The book of Micah chapter 2, he says, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out. There's a promise. They will break out, pass through the gate and go by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at the head. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to be at the head. Thank God. I love the word breakthrough. It's from this Hebrew word mishber. It means the act of breaking through an obstacle with a sudden advance into a new area. That's the Hebrew definition for breakthrough. It is the act of breaking through an obstacle. Living this life, my friends, we will have to deal with obstacles. Life throws things at us, and we have to deal with those obstacles. But the act of the awesome thing about breakthrough is that it is a sudden act of breaking through. Just like Micah 2:13, it breaks open. The one who breaks open will come before them, and they will break out. So that's why expectancy begins with our relationship with the breaker. And the breaker is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So that's why I must absolutely, positively keep my relationship, my walk with him up to date. And there's far too many people. Their relationship with the Lord is like fake French bread. Many, their relationship with the Lord is like moldy donuts. Now, there's a Google search for you. How long does it take a fresh donut to get mold? Not long. You're probably right. It's got to be up to date, because that's how you nurture the spirit of expectancy for breakthrough. All right, here's the next thing. How to have expectancy for breakthrough. Number two, breakthrough faith sees God over the challenges. It sees God over the challenges. I want to visit this story with you, story of King David. David has been anointed by the prophet of God, to be the next king of Israel. But there was a little jealousy going on here, kind of like, you know, with some of the pop singers, they kind of get into these feuds. Y'all ever see that? They, you know, they get critical of one another and you know, I don't know what their argument is. You know, well, I sing better than you, or I have more money than you, or I'm more popular than you, or I have more Instagram followers than you do. They get into these foolish arguments. You know, this competition thing. You know, and it lives in our world. You know, and it's all based upon a spirit of jealousy. That's what it is. It's a spirit of jealousy, and it runs rampant through our world. It's a big issue. And it's something that all of us have to deal with from time to time. You know, it's sort of like when I go walking through the cosmetic counter in Dillard's, and the cosmetic woman looks at me and gives me this big smile. And then Becky's right there, and I said, did you see her smile at me? Yeah, I saw it. And I said, you know why she did that? Because that's the anointing. She said, uh-uh, that's the devil. Now, I don't know why she smiled, but she didn't smile. Man, we got to understand how this works. Right? The Holy Spirit says, stay neutral, boy. Stay neutral. Come on, somebody. Amen? But Saul is jealous because David was anointed by the prophet to be the next king. And so then they go parading through the city. And the people are singing and crying out. And Saul has slain his thousands. You know, these men were warriors. Saul has slain his thousands. And here comes little young David. David has slain his tens of thousands and thousands. Saul was like, say what? And he became enraged with jealousy. And he wanted to kill David. So that's the setting of this chapter. So David is running from Saul. He's running from all of Saul's henchmen and all of the enemies that are against him. And all of a sudden, David gets a revelation of how breakthrough operates. Isn't that awesome? He understands it. So then he gives us this incredible, I don't have time to read all of this today, but when you go home today, go read 2 Samuel chapter 22. Man, it is some powerful stuff. So David, he says this in verse 29. Verse 29 through verse 34. He says, the Lord, he begins by saying, the Lord is my lamp. For you, O Lord, are my lamp. You are the light who lightens my darkness. I love this next verse. For by you, I run through a troop. By my God, I leap over a wall. Hallelujah. See, this is breakthrough thinking right here. This is breakthrough faith that sees God over the challenges. He goes on and he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who trust and take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? You'll see, he's got a revelation. This is breakthrough faith in operation. He doesn't see the challenges any longer. Now he sees God. He's got a revelation of God. And he goes on and he says that God is my strong fortress. He guides the blameless in his way and sets him free. He makes my feet like the hinds, firm and able. He sets me secure and confident upon the heights. Secure and confident upon the heights. There again, position. Do y'all see that? New level. New level. Position. I love this. And you'll find that phrase, he makes my feet like hinds feet, in the Psalms. And what does that mean, hinds feet? Well, a hind is a reference to a female deer who was noted for her agility to move rapidly across rocks and to get up rough terrain easily and elegantly. All right, so he makes my feet like hind's feet. It's a spiritual declaration that says, I'm able to get through the rough patches. I'm able to get through the challenges because it's God. Are y'all with me? It's not my strength. It's not what I can do. He said, it's God. He makes my, I don't do it. He makes my feet like hind's feet. Hallelujah. Man, I'm rapidly advancing. I'm agile. I'm going across these rocks. I'm going up this rough terrain. And I'm doing it with ease. And I'm doing it elegantly. How is that possible? Because God does it. God does it. Hallelujah. Breakthrough faith. It sees God over the challenges. Here's the third thing. We're almost done. Become a passionate seeker of Holy Spirit fullness. How to have expectancy for breakthrough? It begins with your relationship with the breaker himself. Then you have to have breakthrough faith. Develop it, nurture it, see God over the challenges. Then become a passionate seeker of Holy Spirit fullness. See, my pursuit must be for the Holy Spirit to fill me, for the Holy Spirit to expand me, for the Holy Spirit to enlarge me, for the Holy Spirit to flow in me and out of me like a mighty, mighty river. I must be a passionate seeker. In my personal prayer life, I always quote and pray Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Whew, that's a message right there. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. My friends, when we diligently seek him, when we become passionate about having his fullness, we are going to build and nurture expectancy in our lives for breakthrough. Listen to what this says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 19. This is a powerful verse. It talks about God working in us. See, become a passionate seeker. That fullness is in Christ. He says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, without experience. See, there's a lot of people in the religious world that have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any experience. Are y'all with me? They have a lot of knowledge, but you know what Paul said about knowledge? He said, knowledge puffs up, right? So, man, I don't want just knowledge. I want to have knowledge and experience. Yeah, we need the knowledge of God. That's why we study the Word. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have the West Point Bible School. We must have the knowledge of God, but we also must have, look what he says, practically through experience, the love of Christ that surpasses mere knowledge without experience, and that you may be full. He says that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Man, let's just touch that word right there. Father, fulfill this verse in every one of us right here, right now, today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, can you imagine how life will change when we become wholly filled and flooded with God himself? He's talking about experience. He's talking about experience. I was talking about Jacob this morning in the 9 o'clock service, and about his experience where, you know, he had the real Stairway to Heaven song, because he laid down on that rock and all of a sudden he dreamed a dream, and there was a stairway to heaven. It was a ladder, Bible says. Angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Ascending and descending. Bible says Jacob was a conniver. Says he was a get-over kind of guy. Anybody ever been gotten over? You have any get-over people in your family? Oh, boy, y'all laughing on that one. You ever been a get-over person? Or you a get-over person today? Got quiet all of a sudden. Well, let's not go there, Pastor. Hallelujah. I remember years ago going to Service Merchandise. Used to have them years ago. Some of you might remember that place. I went there. I was learning how to play golf. Went there, bought a golf club, and their system. You know, you went and you had the ticket, and then you go and you pay at the register, and then they send the ticket back, and you go and you get it off the conveyor belt. All right, so I went and got that golf club, and got it home. It was boxed up. Got it home. Opened that box. I had not one but two drivers. Two. So my father-in-law, who was an avid golfer, I told him, I said, Pop, I said, look at this. I said, I went and paid for one and I got two. He said, praise God, one for me and one for you. I said, Pop, I'm kind of convicted about this. I said, I think I need to bring it back. No, I don't bring it back. He didn't really say that. I don't know what he said. I don't remember. Becky said he probably did say that. You know, there's two ways to look at that. God is a God of increase. Hallelujah. The other way you look at that, God is a God of conviction. Which way do I go? I actually ended up going back to the store and I said, look, man, y'all gave me two golf clubs. A guy looked at me and he was like, what? Why are you bringing it back? That's what the guy at the store said. I said, well, and I told him, I said, I'm a man of God. And I said, the Lord told me I couldn't keep it. He said, oh, well, I can appreciate that. But he still was shocked, you know, that I brought it back. God is a God of increase. Hallelujah. I like that message too. We're out of time. Let me give you the fourth and last thing right here. How to have expectancy for breakthrough. I believe we're going to see God do some things. I really truly believe we are going to see God do some things in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the fourth and final thing. Cleanse yourself from sinful influence and receive the breaker anointing. Now we talk about that, and I know then we have to kind of deal. Oh, well, Pastor, I know a better page. Let's turn to a better page. And sometimes that's what we want to do. We want to turn to a better page. But God is dealing with us about something. You know, and he wants to free us. He wants to liberate us from something. A good friend of mine, I used to challenge him on some things in the Word. And he used to say, he'd laugh and say, oh, come on, I know a better page. Let me show you this one. I said, well, that one's good too. I said, but I think we need to deal with this. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to deal with that. Yeah, you need to deal with this one. This is what God is speaking. You need to deal with this one. And so many times, see, because it demands something. It demands something of us. But notice what it says, and I know this is this is not a popular concept. This is not a popular challenge. But the Bible says that we must cleanse ourselves from sinful influence. And if we are willing to do that, then we will receive the breaker's anointing in our life. So listen to what this says. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, how many of you know it doesn't say that God cleanses us here? It says we cleanse ourselves. So I have to take some action steps. Now, today I said, sometimes you got to get rid of some friends. You just kick them to the curb and you move on. Becky said, you can't say that. All right, well, let's just place them on the curb. That's better, right? I know that sometimes I say things that probably don't sound good, right? And I receive correction. Brother in the church years ago, he'd lift his hand and say, thank you, Lord, for the discipline. Still was trying to figure out what he meant by that. But he prayed it all the time. Thank you, Lord, for the discipline. God was working in him. I think. All right, so you might have to disassociate. And the Bible says, I tell you, I had so many friends before I knew Jesus. And all of those friends, I'm telling you, they were gone. Gone. And then I'd carry a little pocket New Testament around. And when they would start with their foolishness, I'd read the book of Revelation. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And they were like, man, stop reading. That's scary. I said, exactly. Either you're getting saved or you're going to hell. I mean, I didn't have much wisdom. You know, but hey, it worked for me. And it got them, you know, all I needed was a pocket New Testament, and I got rid of them. Didn't cost me any money. Got rid of them. You know, but the Bible says that we should not be deceived or misled. And the Bible says that evil company corrupts good, godly character. So you see, you do have to watch out who you associate with. And sometimes you might need to change friends. I mean, you want to win them to the Lord. Right, Becky? We want them saved. But if they're not going to get saved, well, then y'all got to go. It's like the guy that moved into his neighborhood. He went out the front, first day was in his new neighborhood. True story. All my stories are true. Y'all know that. He goes out with a bullhorn. He says, "Listen up, neighbors. This is," and he introduced himself, and he said, "All of y'all are getting saved now, or y'all moving out." Now, I must admit, he's probably not going to win Garden of the Month Club Award for that approach, right? And that probably didn't influence people. It didn't win friends and influence people. But he made his point. But we have to cleanse ourselves. See, the breaker anointing is divine influence. It works in every area of our life. It is the power of God. Listen to me, friends. It is the power of God in action. The might of God to take dominion over the enemy. The breaker anointing upon your life, upon my life, is God's power to liberate us into greater seasons of victory. God wants us to walk in authority. And when I cleanse myself, then I can say, cigarettes, you have no authority over my life. Drugs, you have no authority over my life. Alcohol, you have no authority over my life. Lust, you have no authority over my life. See, we walk in authority because we are in the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it is the anointing of God that destroys. It breaks the yoke of bondage.